Okay, we're in the middle of discussing Bikur Cholim and all different issues relating. So today we're going to continue more with that, get off on a few sidetracks again, and get into one particular issue I want to go in depth a little bit. We're at the very, very bottom of Lamed Tet Amud Bet. Rav Chelbo Chalash. Rav Chelbo got sick. Nafak Achris Rav Kahana. Rav Chelbo Baish. Okay, he said to everybody, Rav Chelbo sick. And lo ika de ka'ate. And nobody was coming to visit him. Amar lehu, lo kach ma'ase b'talmid echad mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva shechala, lo nechnesu chachamim levakro, v'nechnas Rabbi Akiva levakro, u'bishvil shekibdu v'rivtzu lefanav chaya. So he says to the people, don't you know, in other words, he announced he's sick, nobody comes to visit him. And he says, don't you know, didn't you hear the story about Rabbi Akiva? That there was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva that nobody came to visit. And Rabbi Akiva, this is interesting, you see again this time of Rabbi Akiva, the Talmidei Chachamim were not exactly right. It says, no, Talmidei Chachamim levakro. Right? The Talmidei Chachamim seem to have some issues in his time. Or at least the Gemara is being critical of them, you know, whether they're trying to relate to things that went on in their time or not. But Rabbi Akiva goes to visit him. And what happens? Rabbi Akiva sees this house as a disaster. It's messy, disgusting, dirty. So he tells he tells the people to go sweep and clean the house. Because they cleaned it up, the guy lived. Okay? Because you know what it's like to live in a disgusting place. There's no incentive to really live and move on. And then people came, they cleaned up, and it helped him come to life. Amarlei. Rebbe Hechiatani. So the guy said to Rabbi Akiva, wow, you brought me back to life. Yatsa Rabbi Akiva v'darash, kol mi she'em mevaker cholim, ki ilu shofech damim. Okay, so then he makes this statement after, right, this is always, when you go through a particular experience, it makes you feel very strongly about something. So he says, if you don't visit the cholim, you're basically causing shfichut damim. You know, you can look at this from all perspectives. In this case, it was because he saw that his house was a mess. You know, sometimes you see that a person needs something, right? They're alone, they're by themselves, nobody's visiting them. If nobody visits, it's besides the visit itself can be uplifting. But in addition, sometimes there's needs that people have and you don't recognize them unless you go see the person and see what their needs are.
The other way. There could be needs not to have visitors because you're not capable.
Ah, yes. So there could be situations
you
where you...
Or you're contagious and people can't come in and so on. And so
right. So there could be situations where you shouldn't... Right. You shouldn't visit. It's a good point. That also if someone's contagious, if... what was the other... Right. If it's not good for them to have visitors. Right. Then you could go back to maybe the omeid. You know, you could stand outside the room and at least, you know, look in or something. Right, we actually had a situation yesterday where we were going to try to visit someone, but they said, please, we don't want visitors. So, right, so you could have that also, where it's, even if they could take visitors, they might not want visitors, which is another thing, right? So you always have to be conscious of all the aspects, right? It's a good point that we always say about these blanket statements. Blanket statements don't deal with every situation. Ki at Rav Dimi Amar, so when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel to Bavel, he taught, okay, so far so good, right? Same thing, basically. If you visit someone, you will help cause them to live. Okay, this is, again, like what Rabbi Akiva was saying, the Yom HaShofech Damim. My grandma, what are we talking about here? So, Ilema kolam mevakeret hachole mevakesh alav rachamim sheyichyeh. V'kol she'en mevakeret hachole mevakesh alav rachamim sheyamut. So could it mean that this is what he's saying? And it obviously can't mean this. That if you visit the chole, so you'll end up being mevakesh alav rachamim. We didn't relate to this aspect yet, which is what? That someone's in your consciousness once you've visited them. When you haven't visited them, there you don't think about them so much. But when you visit them, oh, they're in your consciousness. Then when you daven, you'll pray for them. And if you don't visit the chole, so then he's going to pray for you that you die. So that obviously can't be the case. So they say, who's going to pray that someone dies? Ela, kol she'en mevaker chole, ein mevakesh alav rachamim, lo she'yichyeh ve'lo she'yamut. This statement is an interesting statement. What does it mean here? Unclear what it means. So it could mean, if you don't visit the sick person, so then you're not going to ask for rachamim, either which way, right? Lo she'yichyeh ve'lo she'yamut. Okay, so what do you mean, lo she'yichyeh ve'lo she'yamut? It
means either you're going to go, you can't go from positive to negative, you're going to go from positive to neutral.
Uh-huh. In other words, either, so what do you mean? That you can't, how do you translate the sentence?
That
if you don't visit the sick, then you're not going to end up being mivakesh rachamim.
Then you'll remain indifferent.
Right, you'll remain indifferent. Okay. And then the lo she'yamut is not so relevant here. It's just saying you're going to be totally indifferent. You're not going to ask if yechiya or yamut or anything. The Ran says on this, very interestingly, that what do you learn from here? That you're allowed to pray for someone to die. Sometimes you visit someone and you see that they're so, so sick and suffering that what comes to mind? That this person needs to end their life. And how am I going to help them end it? I can pray that God will help him end his life. And this opens up a whole big discussion among everybody. You know, do we accept this or not? This is a huge thing, right? You visit someone who's sick or you don't have to visit them. But if there's someone who's really sick and suffering, are you allowed to pray for them to die? And this is a really big issue. So the Ran says it. And basically, it's not mentioned in the Torah or the Shulchan Aruch. It's not Paskin. The Nosek Halem on there don't discuss it. And by the way, the Ran quotes, you'll remember this, those who learned the end of Ketubot, the story with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is about to die.
That's just what I was thinking of interrupting.
Exactly. So he brings this up as part of the proof. The rabbis are all praying for him to live, and he's terribly suffering. And the woman who's taking care of him, first she tries to say, she prays that he should be saved, and then she prays the opposite. That basically the Elyonim should win out over the Tachtonim that are praying for him, and they should take Rebbe away. And the rabbis don't agree with her, and they don't want to do this. And in the end, she throws a pot out the window, it breaks, the rabbis stop praying, and then he dies. Okay, because she's the one taking care of him, and she sees how much he's suffering. So basically, the Ran says, here you see that you can pray for someone to die. So the people who disagree with the Ran say what? The Chachamim didn't listen to her. In other words, just because she did it doesn't mean we learn from her la halacha. So that's one direction. Then, so there's a machloka, basically, about whether you're allowed to pray for someone or whether you're not. So the Ran says yes. Most other people seem to say no. There's different things. So the Chokakei Lev, which is a sefer, he writes in there that, I didn't check like when he was from, I didn't recognize the name, but I assume it's an Achron, that the Chole himself can pray, but other people can't pray for him, although he makes a distinction between relatives and people who don't really know him. People who don't really know him have no ulterior motives. Relatives, there's a concern there's ulterior motives, which he didn't mention what they are, but I assume it could be one of two things. It could be financial, they want the money of the dead person, or maybe they're just, it's hard for them. And for, you know, they're looking at their own selfish perspective that for me it's difficult, but it doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, it's that the chole's time is to die. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that only a gadol, like a real gadol who has real understanding, can understand that this person's time, and as he relates to what's the issue, we don't know. Who am I to say that this person's suffering enough and it's time for them to die? So he says only someone with real understanding of that, now who that could be, I don't really know, but someone who has a real understanding of whether this chole's time has come, and he also says particularly a person who we know whose prayers were accepted. And so he, that's his distinction. The Tzitz Eliezer talks about, also a recent Achron, he talks about that maybe, you know, when someone's sick, you ever get sick so bad that you just feel like, oh my God, like I could die right now, even though you know that you're going to get better, right? But at that moment, you feel like you have a terrible stomach virus or something and you have no energy and you're just like, you just think I'll never get better than this, right? So what he says is often you're sick and then you get better. So at that, in the depth of sickness, you might feel really horrible, but you don't know. Maybe you'll get better. And if the person goes to pray for you, maybe what will happen is in the meantime, while he goes to pray, maybe you start feeling a little better and you'll change your mind and you're not interested. Like, let's say we assume that he's praying because that's in line with what the sick person wants. But it could be that he'll decide he wants to live and, you know, and he'll turn that corner. And then you've already prayed that he should die and you'll be messing things up. And I think what he's really relating to is that we never really know. we don't know. Like, when you see someone who's close to dying, you don't really know. Maybe something will happen, and maybe they'll start to get better, and you don't really know. And that's why it's very tricky to do that. Then the Shu'at Shevet HaLevi says that you can, he raises the question, maybe you can't pray for them, but can you stop praying for someone? Like, someone asked him a question. I've been saying in Rifa'enu for this person for 2 years. They're terminally ill. You know, they're not, their situation isn't getting any better. They're suffering a lot. Can I take their name off my list? So he says that you can do. Okay. In other words, you can't go so far as to be Mevakesh Rachamim, but you can stop praying for them. And then the last thing I saw was this possibility that you could say, maybe what you can do is you can pray that God have rachamim on this person, whether it be
which means either way.
Exactly. And maybe that's what the Gemara means. Lo mevakesh al rachamim, lo shiachev, lo shiyamud. In other words, just rachamim for this person, whether it's to die or whether it's to live. But general rachamim, and then that basically resolves the issue, right? Because you can always be mevakesh rachamim, and then God is the one who decides whether he's going to live or die. So anyway, a very interesting issue that comes off our daf. So again, most people don't really paskin, certainly all the way, like the Ran seems to say that it really is okay to do that kind of a thing. Rava. Okay, Rava Yoma Kadma Dechalish, on the first day he would get sick, Amar Lahon, Lo Tiglu Le'inish, Delo Litra Mazaleh. Don't tell anybody, because if you tell someone, it might turn my mazal to be bad. Meaning, you're getting a little sick, right? The first day, usually you're not terribly sick, so you start to feel sick. You're worried it might get worse, and if people start hearing about it, maybe, you know, like it'll bring in Ayin Hara or something, and it'll get worse. But Mikam Ba'elach, once you're sick the second day, Amar Lahon, then he should tell everybody, Puku V'achrizu B'shuka, Dekol Desaneli Lichtili. Okay, so let's go out and announce to the shuk that I'm sick. So then he says, Dekol Desaneli, anyone who hates me, Lichtili, will be happy for me. Uchtiv B'mfolo Ibecha Al Tismach. If all my enemies are like, oh yay, he's sick, then what will happen? B'mfolo Ibecha Al Tismach. You're not allowed to do that. They'll be looked upon badly, and that will be better for me, because they'll be looked upon badly, so then I will get, right, if they're praying, things will go bad for me, then they won't be listened to. Uderachimli, and anyone who has rachmanun on me, libayala rachamim, and they'll pray for me. So basically, he makes a distinction between the first day and the second day. I was thinking of, you know, in Israeli law, when you get sick, you don't get paid for the first day, but starting from the second day, they start to pay you. Like, the first day is considered this in-between day, right? You don't know, are you really getting sick, are you going to be better tomorrow? Once it's the second day, we already know you're sick, and then it's taken more seriously. Okay, Amar Rav. Kol ha-mevakeret ha-chole nitzol midina shel gehenom. Okay, anybody who visits a sick person gets saved from gehenom. Again, we get back to our gehenom issue. Shneamar, right? You clearly can understand why Gehenom is on these dapim, because it's all about their tfisa of what sickness was, right? Sickness was a punishment from God, and you know, maybe you're heading toward death, Gehenom, and maybe you're getting what you deserve, and that's why it's here. So if you visit the sick, you're basically saved from Gehenom. Shneamar, Asre Maskil Eldal Biyom Ra'a Yimaltehu, Yimaltehu Hashem. And then what do they say here? Ein dal ela chole. So ashrei maskil el dal is happy is the one who is, and how would they translate maskil el dal? Like from,
contemplates.
Who contemplates, okay. Who contemplates the poor. Dal is poor. And biyom ra'an, on a bad day, Hashem will save him. So what do they say here? The dal doesn't mean poor, it means sick. Okay, so if you contemplate the sick, meaning if you go visit the sick, then you will be saved on the bad day. Shneamar, how do we know that Dal is poor? Now we're going to bring two different psukim. Okay, one is from Yeshayahu. Okay, and there it says, Midala yivatzeni. Okay, that you will feed me from the Dala. Okay, is that how they translate yivatzeni? Like, I was thinking from Botzea Pat, right? Like from eating bread.
It says he will end my life with sickness.
He will end my life with sickness. Oh, Yivatzeni means end my life.
That's what they
say. Okay. So he will end my life from sickness. Inami min hadinkra. Madua atakacha dal ben melech. This is by Amnon v'Tamar. Okay. So, Madua takacha dal ben melech baboker baboker. Okay, why are you like this, dal ben melech? Okay, now Avnon got sick from, you know, from the whole situation. They say he was sick, and that's what it means. Dal ben melech is sick. And then, now it said biyom ra'ah. How do we know this is Gehenom? Because ein ra'ah ela Gehenom. Okay, we know that ra'ah is going to be Gehenom. Shenemar kol pa'al Hashem l'maneu begam rasha liyom ra'ah. Okay, and then they're saying basically the rasha liyom ra'ah must be Gehenom because the rasha deserves to go to Gehenom. Ve'im biker mascharo. So now they say, so if he visits, what reward does he get? So they say, what do you mean mascharo? Kedamar, nitomi dinashal Gehenom. We just said you're going to be safe from Gehenom. So what do you mean what's achar? Ela mascharo ba'olam hazeh. Okay, in other words, we understand you'll get saved from Tinashal Gehenom, but that's an Olam Haba. We want to know what kind of reward does a person get Olam Hazeh, right? Which is strange. We don't generally talk about Sachar for mitzvot. But again, I think what's going on here is not necessarily that we know the Sachar, but it's a way of encouraging people to do mitzvot. So it actually reminds me, when we learned Sudash Lishit, we talked about this. There's a statement that says anyone who eats three meals on Shabbat is saved Medina Shal Gog Magog, and I think also Medina Shal Gehenom. There were three things that he's saved from, and all kind of Olam Haba related issues, and or afterworld issues. And we talked about there that, again, what was going on? People weren't doing it. And therefore, in order to encourage people to do it, they made these broad statements to say, if you do this, this will happen to you, so, you know, you better do it. So here also, they obviously, you see with Rabbi Akiva, people weren't going. You see with this Rabbi Chelbo, and nobody was visiting him, that it was an issue. People weren't taking the time to do this, and therefore, they needed to encourage people. So they're talking about Sachar in a way to encourage them.
In the context of being sick as a direct punishment for doing something wrong or not behaving well or whatever, whether they were worried about the association or...
You think people didn't want to go visit the sick person.
Either because they would associate with the person, or because you don't necessarily have nechama for somebody who's being punished.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder whether it wasn't just straightforward.
Right. If they look, okay, so I'm thinking now two things. One could be people didn't want to associate with sick people because they looked at them, what Ruth is saying, as they did something wrong, so therefore we shouldn't necessarily visit them. Right. If sickness is so clearly correlated with onesh, I think that's hard to accept. I agree with you with your fit. I think that's hard to accept, but I think that, especially because people got, I mean, everybody got sick, and weren't. The other thing could be going back to what Naomi said earlier, which is contagious, as people could have been very concerned about
getting sick.
Right, getting sick from other people. And that would, you know, you think about Proust Ball or something, right? So a totally different issue. But, you know, there was a particular reason why people didn't want to loan money because they wouldn't get paid back. And then, you know, so we needed to be metakena takana to allow people to do it in a way that worked for them. So here also, it could be people didn't want to do it because they were nervous about getting sick. And therefore, the rabbis had to bend over backwards to encourage people and stress how important it is so that people would get over their fear. Although on the other hand, like Naomi's saying, sometimes it really is dangerous and then it's tricky. It's a fine line. How to know
why they're focusing so much on the reward for a certain mitzvah, because mitzvah kala ki chamura, they're all the same. And
so that's what I'm saying. It's not, first of all, they clearly don't know what the reward is. How can anyone know what reward God gives for people for mitzvot? But it's a way of, it's a manner of speaking, the way they spoke to the people to try to encourage them to do it. That's exactly what I was trying, the point I was trying to make, that I don't think they really know what it is, but this is how it's like a manner of speaking. That's how they spoke. It was a way of them to encourage the people to say, if you do this, this will happen to you. Just, you know, and you see it all the time. The rabbis make these broad statements about certain things. And then they, you know, they back them up with psukim. Elamas chara ba'olam hazeh, Hashem yishmereyu v'yichayehu. Okay, this is a pasuk from Tehilim. Okay, here's the whole pasuk. Hashem yishmereyu v'yichayehu, v'ushar ba'aretz, v'al titneu b'nefesh oivav. Okay, so now they say, Hashem yishmereyu miyetzer hara. Okay, you'll be protected from the yetzer hara. They're going to darshan every word here. V'yichayehu mina yisurim. Okay, you'll be brought to life from your suffering. you'll be saved from your suffering. V'ushar ba'aretz, right? Osher usually means happiness. What does it mean here? Shiyu hakom mitkabdim bo. Okay, some people actually have a nusach, which I think works better. Shakom mechabdim oto. Everybody will respect you. V'al titneu b'nefesh oivav. Shiyizdamnu lo re'im kena'aman. Shiripu et tzara'ato. V'al yizdamnu lo re'im kerechav'am. Shechilku et malchuto. Here they make a very interesting comparison between two people, Naaman and Rechavam. Each one was advised by their friends, but one was advised l'ra'ah, one was advised l'tova. Okay, if you remember, Naaman was sick with Sarad, and then he goes into the water, and he's cured, and Elisha helps him, right? So in the story, he doesn't really want to go in the water. And then his friends convince him to go in the water, and he's saved, or his people. I don't know if it's who exactly, whether they were actually friends. I don't remember who the people with him were. And that caused him to be cured. And Rechavam, as we know, was advised, again, you know, to raise the taxes, and everyone got angry at him. And then basically, right, he took the advice of the kids, his friends, and he didn't take the advice of the zkenim. And then the Piluk Hamlucha happened, and Yeravam got the Malchut. So that's the bracha this person gets. That basically, you should have friends like Naaman and not friends like Rechavam. Okay, this is right. It's like what you tell your kids: choose your friends wisely. Right? That's what this is basically saying. Right?
It's his servant.
Be smart about it. Was his servant too? Servant. That's what I figured. So anyway, right? Be smart about who you choose to take advice from. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Im yomru lecha yeladim b'nei uzkenim stor shma liskenim ve'al tishma liyeladim shebinyan yeladim stira v'stirat zkenim binyan. Okay, the way you remember this is remember Rechavam. Because what do they say? If you're given advice by two different groups of people, and one are Yeladim and one is Zkenim, so if Zkenim tell you should tear it apart, and Yeladim tell you should build it, you should tear it apart like the Zkenim say, because the tearing apart of Zkenim is a building. And the building of children is sometimes destruction, basically, of, you know, breaking it down. So basically, take the advice of someone who's older and wiser, and the way to remember that is Rechavam ben Shlomo. Just think of Rechavam, and you'll remember always who to take advice from. I'm Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi. Lo lisod inish katsira, lo betlatshay kadmaita, v'lo betlatshay batraita diyoma. Ki hechid lo lisachdate min rachame. Okay, you shouldn't go... Right, this means you shouldn't go visit a sick person. Lo lisod means to go visit. You shouldn't go visit a sick person, not in the first 3 hours of the day and not in the last 3 hours of the day, because you might not end up asking for rachamim if you do that. Why? Tlat shai kadmaita rav chadate. In the morning, even a sick person wakes up in the morning usually feeling a little bit better. So when you go in the morning, you'll see, oh, he's not doing so badly, so you won't ask for rachamim for him. Batraita takif chulshe. And at night, he's looking so bad that you don't want to go. This again maybe goes back to what the Ron said. You know, you don't necessarily want to go asking rachamim for him because things are so bad that you're not really necessarily looking for him to get better. Amarav and Amarav. Minayin shakadosh baruch hu zan et hachole. Okay, now here we're going to get to a few statements about God's protection over the chole. And this probably, you've heard some of this anyway, in terms of like when you go visit a sick person that the Shekhinah is there. We're going to see this in a minute. So how do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving sustenance to the Choleh? Shneemar, Hashem yisadeni al eres dvai. Okay, eres dvai is on my sick bed. Okay, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. The end of the pasuk is, komish kavo hafachta b'chol yo. Okay, so the first thing they darshan from this pasuk is that Hashem yisadeni, right? From, we just saw a minute ago, yisad means to go visit. But here they're saying it means se'uda. Hashem will give him food. Va'amarav im amarav. Minayin shashchina shruya lemala mimitato shel hachole, shenemar Hashem yisadeni al eres dvai. Here you learn another thing, which is that the Shechina is there because if Hashem is there feeding him, then God, the Shechina, must be there. Tanya nami hachi, and here's a brayta that supports this. Hanichnas levakeret hachole, lo yeshev lo agabe mitato, velo agabe safsal, velo agabe kise, ela mitatef yoshev agabe karka, מפני שהשכינה שרויה למעלה ממיטתו של חולה, שנאמר, השם יסדני על ארץ דווי. Okay, so what do you see here? That God is there, and therefore you have to be very careful how you behave there. In other words, you can't sit on a chair, you can't sit on a safsal. So now there's a big, right, what is, like, you're supposed to sit on the floor, the sick person's in a bed, you're on the floor, it doesn't really make so much sense. So some people explain that what's going on here is the mate is on the floor, and therefore you shouldn't be higher than the mate, because it's basically being higher than God. So you should put yourself in a place where you're on the same level as the dead person, the sick person. So therefore, if the sick person's on a bed, then you can be on his level. You just shouldn't be any higher because of the Shekhinah of Hashem being there. Okay, practically speaking, I'm not sure exactly how this manifests itself. Because even if they're in a bed and you're sitting in a chair, your head is higher than them. You know, and if your head is lower than them, they can't possibly see you. So obviously, I think this has to be taken with a grain of salt.
Also, doesn't fit. We should sit on the bed, the sick bed, because that is on the same level.
Right, so I think sitting on the sick bed just means, first of all, you could look at it as contagiousness, right? Stay away, like, don't sit on their bed. Right. It could be that was another motivation of saying something like that. But there, I think they're just saying you're too close to the Shekhinah, like, distance yourself. So if you're at least distance and on the same level, I was thinking of the king and I, you know, and he lies on the floor and she has to go lower than him, you know, the whole scene there where this concept of not being higher than God. But yeah, I don't know exactly, you know, whether we take this seriously, halakha l'maaseh, and how it's perceived. I assume not. But again, they're trying to stress a concept of God's Shekhinah being there. And again, it could be that this was another way of them trying to encourage people to visit the sick, because they're saying, look, God is with the sick person. So if God's there, first of all, it's a kadosh place to go. You know, hopefully it didn't scare people away. But, you know, if God can visit, then obviously you should visit. Okay, now, because we talked about these two statements, how Ravin, in the name of Rav, translated. By the way, Ravin was like Rav Dimi. He was one of the people that would go from Eretz Israel to Bavel and bring the Torah of Eretz Israel to Bavel. He said the statement in the name of Rav, these two statements, two parshanayot on Hashem Yisadeinu El Eretz Dvai. And now, he's going to say something totally different, okay? This has nothing to do with anything. They're just bringing it in because it was something that Ravin said in the name of Rav. Okay, Amar Ravin, Amar Rav, Mitra b'Marava, Sahada Rabba Prat. If there's matar in Eretz Israel, if there's rain in Israel, then the testimony to this, to the people living in Bavel, is that the Prat overflows. Okay, or it's full. When you see that the Nahar Prat, the Euphrates River, is full, you know that it rained in Israel, and he claims that the water comes all the way from Israel and gets to the Euphrates. Upliga de Shmuel. And in this way, Rav argues with Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Nahara Mikife Mitbarech. Okay? He says, no, the river Euphrates, when it's full, it's from its own banks, basically. It's from all the rivers, you know, that lead to it, and it's from its own, and it's not coming from Israel. It's not a siman at all of anything having to do with Israel. And then they're going to say, because of this, what do we see? Upliga de Shmuel ad Shmuel. Shmuel himself contradicts. Okay, there's a contradiction between what Shmuel says, that the Nahar Prat overflows or gets full from its own banks, as opposed to what Shmuel says in another place. Now, before we move on to what Shmuel says in another place, I want to just briefly explain halacha about mikvah. So, mikvah has to be either rainwater, okay, meg shamim, or zochalim, okay, a river that flows. So now, if you have zochalim, that are full of rainwater, and that the percentage of rainwater is greater than the percentage of zochalim, then you already can't tovel there. It's not a good mikvah. So a mikvah has to be either meg shamim, it has to be that if it's meg shamim, then it's meg shamim, and it doesn't have more than 50% of zochalim. And the reverse, if it's zochalim, which is more irrelevant than the meg shamim having zochalim, that's not so relevant, but the zochalim, if it's free-running water, you know, free-flowing water, that has to be more than 51, you know, has to be 51% zochalim and not more than that of rainwater. So what happens when it rains, right? Already, you don't know. Who knows who's to measure how much came from the rain and how much came from the zochalim itself. So here, they're going to say that Shmuel said that the Nahar overflows from its own banks, as opposed to what? From the rain from Israel, okay? Or rain in general. So now, what does Shmuel say? Damar Shmuel, Ein hamayim mitaharim bezochalim, okay, meaning, right, when is the water tahor to be a mikveh if the word is zochalim, ela prat biyomei tishrei bilvad. The only time you can tovel in the Nahar Prat is in Tishrei. Why in Tishrei, or the tkufa of Tishrei? What's the issue? There's no rain. There hasn't been rain for months. And there's no snow falling from the mountains. So at that point, you can be sure that the majority of the water is zochalim. But any other time of year, there's no way to know. It could be from the rain and everything else. So what do you see? That it's not just full from its own banks, but it gets full from the rainwater. Avua de Shmuel avid lahom mikvaot lebinte biyomei Nisan umefatze biyomei Tishrei. Okay. By the way, they don't resolve this contradiction about Shmuel. They just say that he seems to contradict himself. Okay. There doesn't seem to be any answer here about what it is. They're just pointing out that it doesn't make sense that he says it's not reflective of the rainwater in Israel, because he claims that the prat in the winter months is full of rainwater. Now, you could distinguish between which rainwater, right? It doesn't necessarily mean it's coming from Israel. Right. Okay, so Shmuel's father would build mikvaot for his daughters during the winter months. Okay, because, exactly for this reason, he would build mikvaot because they couldn't use the Euphrates, and therefore he would create mikvaot for them since you had this problem. And in Yom Tishrei, when you're allowed to go in the mikvah, there was a separate problem. What was the problem? So he would make these mats. So they would go in the mikvah on a mat, basically. And what was the purpose of the mat? That the mat would go down and prevent all the mud from underneath from getting up. He was worried that the mud was going to get on their bodies and create a chatzitza. So because of that, they would go with mats in the Yomei Detishrei. Okay. Amar Rabbi Ami, now we're also onto something different. Amar Rabbi Ami Amar Rav, my dichtiv. Here's a pasuk from Yechezkel. Okay, we'll read the whole pasuk inside from Yechezkel Yubet. Va'ata ben adam, ase lecha klei gola, ugele yomam le'enehem. Okay, create, make yourself kelim of galut. And go into galut in front of everybody. Begalita mimkoma al makom acher le'enehem. Let everybody see that you're going into a galut. You're exiling yourself. Ula yiru ki beit mirihema. Right, this was a siman that people should get it, that, you know, they're doing something wrong. So what does he say? Ase lecha adam klei gola. So what are klei gola? Zo ner v'kara v'shatiach. Okay? Rashi says here, shatiach is or le'echol alav. It's like a mat to eat on. So you need a candle, a plate, and something to eat on. B'choser kol. Okay? This is a different pasuk now that relates to this kind of thing. We'll see in a minute. So in the pasukim in Dvarim, when it talks about the tochacha, in Dvarim kavched, in Parshat Kitavo, it says one of the things that's going to happen is va'avadeta et oyvecha asher shochenu Hashem becha b'rav u'b'tzama u'b'erom u'b'choser kol. Okay, and then there's v'natan ol barzel al tzavarecha ad hashmido otach. Okay, so you're going to worship your enemy that God's going to send you. He's going to send famine and drought and erom, I assume, from to be naked, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or u'b'choser kol, and you'll be without anything, basically. So now they're going to say, what's b'choser kol? Amar Rabbi Ami Amar Rav, below ner ubelo shulchan. Those are your basics. These are like basic needs of man. A ner, a kara. So he's saying, what's choser kol? Ner ubelo, below ner ubelo shulchan. Okay, which could be like the shatiach he was talking about. It's the same person. Rabbi Ami said that, and Rabbi Ami says it here. Rav Chista Amar, no, that's not choser kol. Choser kol doesn't mean without a candle, without a table. Below isha, you're going to be without a wife. Rav Sheshan Amar, below Shamash, you're not going to have anyone to serve you. Rav Nachman Amar, below De'a, without knowledge. Tana, a Braita says, below Melach or below Ravav, without salt and without shemen, oil. Okay? So basically, there's this big machloket about what does it mean to have nothing? And what are the basic needs of man? Okay? Are they food, or they, well, not even, right? The first is sort of food related, but it's light to see, right? Utensils, and an ability to see what you're eating or to have. Rav Chista says it's a wife. Rav Sheshi says servants. Rav Nachman says it's knowledge. And the Braita says, salt and shemen. So Amar Bai, we'll go on a little farther for today since we have time and tomorrow is Shabbat. Amar Bai, naktinan ein ani ela bidea. Okay, what does he say? There's no poor person What does it mean to be poor? That you don't have knowledge. This is, by the way, very interesting that Abaye is saying this, because Abaye, we learned, was very poor, and he always talks about food. So you would have expected him to talk about food. And yet he says, even Abaye says, no, worse than that is not having knowledge. Okay, maybe because he survived without a lot of food. So maybe that to him wasn't ani, and he said knowledge. But Ma'arava Amre, in Eretz Yisrael, they say, didabe kulabe. If you have dat, you have everything. Delo dabe, if you don't have dat, mabe. What do you have? Dekane machaser, if you are konechochma, if you acquire knowledge, what is, you can't be, you're not missing anything. Delo kane makane. But if you haven't acquired knowledge, then you haven't acquired anything. Amar Rabbi Alexandra, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, ein hachole ome micholyo ad shemochalin lo al kol avonotav. Okay, the chole does not get up from being sick until he gets mechila on all his avonot. Shneamar hasolech lechol avonaychi harofe lechol tachlu aychi. So here you see they compare in the pasuk being forgiven for all your sins and being cured from your sicknesses. So here they're again talking about what we've talked about before. That clearly they looked at sickness as a punishment. So when you get better, it's because you've been forgiven. Rafam Nuna Omer Amar chozer liyemei alumav. When you get sick and then you get better, you go back to, like, you're in a better place than you were originally. Okay, you go back to your days of youth. Shneamar rutafash b'saro minyoar yashuv liyemei alumav. This is a pasuk in Yechezkel. I'm sorry, in Iov. It talks about your basar fills up with rutafash. They say is filling up with liquids that you were like when you were a child, and you'll go back to the days of your childhood when you get better. Kol mishkavo hafachta b'chol yo. That was the end of that pasuk we saw before. Which pasuk was it? Right. Hashem yisadenu al eres divai. Kol mishkavo hafachta b'chol yo. So what are the derashim from there? Amar Rav Yosef, lomar demishkach limudo. Okay, what do you learn from here? Rav Yosef says that when you get sick, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You're going to forget things. Who remembers Rav Yosef? Do you remember? Rav Yosef chalash. Rav Yosef got sick. Yaker lelimude. He forgot his Torah. And remember, we've seen this like 10 times in Shas so far. Ahadre Abaye kameh. Abaye returned his chokhmadim. He reminded him of all the things he forgot. And hainu, here's a great line in the Gemara. It's very rare. Hainu de b'chol duchta. This is what we see all over Amrinan, where we have this statement. Amar Rav Yosef. Lo shmia li hadashmata. They're sitting learning. Rav Yosef says, oh, I never heard that before. Amar le Abaye. At Amarita Nialan, you yourself said that. Umehamat Nita Amarita, you said it from this Brita. Amarita Nialan, you've said it to us. Kihechi, okay, so basically, all these times, Rabbi Yosef gets sick at a certain point in his life, he can't remember anything, and Abaye always reminds him of what he himself had taught him. And now we're going to see one other story like that. Kiavagamir Rebbe, Tlatasre Ape Hilchata. When he learned 13 ways of understanding this halacha, Agmarei l'Rabbi Chiya Shiva Minhon. Okay, he taught Rabbi Chiya 7 of the 13, interpretations that he had. L'sof chalash Rebbe, he got sick and he couldn't remember them. Ahad Rabbi Chiya kamei hanu Shiva. So Rabbi Chiya returned the 7, right? He reminded him of the 7 ways he had learned. Shiva ape da Agmarei. Shita azdu, but 6 of them were lost. Hava hahu katsra, there was a koves, okay, a launderer. Hava shmiele le Rebbe kedahava garis lehu. He happened to have heard when Rebbe was learning these other 6 ways. He happened to have been in the area listening. Aza Rabbi Chiya v'gamar yaton kame katsra va'atu v'ahadu yaton kame Rebbe. Okay, so Rabbi Chiya went and learned them from the katsar, from the koves, and then he returned them to Rebbe. So Karhabachazale Rebbe Lahu Katsra, when Rebbe saw this koves, Amar le Rebbe, Ata Asita Otiva et Chia. Okay, you made me and Chia. Okay, Ika de Amri, some people say no, Hachi Kamale, Ata Asita et Chia vechia sauti. Okay, you made Chia and Chia made me. Okay, so now what's going on here? By the way, do you remember when we learned at the very end of Ketubot the story of Rebbe dying, the same one we mentioned earlier? There was a koves in that story who would go to Rebbe every day, and after the day Rebbe died, he wasn't there. And then they said, anyone who saw Rebbe when he was dying gets Olam Haba. And he said, I can't believe I didn't get it. And then he kills himself. And then they say, anyway, you get it because, you get it anyway. But it's a crazy story, even though he kills himself. So so anyway, it seems that it must be the same koves, because he was obviously hanging out in Rebbe's house all the time. And, you know, one of the things it shows is a simple guy, you know, yet he was able to have greatness because he was with Rebbe and was able to return to him the Torah. So here's another aspect of someone being sick, and the effects of being sick, and then how people can help them get back their strength from after they're being sick. And in this context, they're talking about Dafka teaching him Torah. Okay, the next statement is just about we'll read one last line. Amar Rabbi Alexander, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Gadol Nes Shenasa L'Chole Yoter Min HaNes Shenasa L'Chananya Mishael V'Azariah. This is just an interesting line. The miracle that's done to a sick person, when a sick person gets better, it's greater than the miracle that happened to Chananya Mishael V'Azariah. Now, why is this? And this really highlights exactly what we've been talking about. Shel Chananya Mishael V'Azariah Eish Shel Hedyot. It's who brought it upon them, right? The Bavlim made the Eish. Anyone can put out an Eish like that. Okay, and that's why the greatness of a sick person getting better is so great, because it comes from God. And therefore, you know, it's so hard to put out that kind of a fire. So if it goes out, there's obviously greatness there. And I think it all goes back to what they're talking about the Shekhinah being there, and that, you know, maybe also because if you look at it, you know, sort of these aspects seem somewhat metaphysical, but if you think about it, when someone gets sick, they ponder God much more, right? Most people, when they get sick, start to think about the meaning of life, and it gives them perspective. And it could be that that's also going on here, and that's why God's there. God is there because the sick person brings God there. In other words, he gets sick maybe because of God, and then he brings God back into his life, and maybe that's another reason to visit a chole, to kind of be in a place where that's the dialogue that's going on and the thinking that's going on, and then maybe that's what it means on another plane of the Shekhinah being there. So, just food for thought. Okay, Shabbat Shalom.